بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من صنع بكم معروفا فكافئوا، فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئوه به فأثنوا عليه خيرا. Someone does you some good, then repay him. The teachings of Islam are practical, simple, easy, manageable. The problem comes about when you want to counter or counter reason. Why not like this? Otherwise it's practical, it is natural, it is the best, it is the way that the man is supposed to be following. That is called fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. It's the temperament upon which man has been born. He's got the salahiyat, he's got the potential, he's got the ability to accept good. So that's the disposition, this is how you've been born. To see right, you've got the ability to do it. Then it's left to the discretion of the person, because in this world, Allah Pak doesn't force anybody. La ikraha. فَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ. So there is no such a thing like compulsion. Then you will do it of your discretion. Namaz, you came to the masjid of your own discretion. You got up a fajr of your own discretion. You could choose to sleep. Right? You could choose to go to work. But you could prefer living at home, but you chose to go to work. So there is no such a thing like compulsion. You do it as per your choice. And because Allah has created that individual responsibility, He's created a thing like choice, so He made every individual responsible. Because He's created choice. Right, you can do it and you can opt not to do it. You have got the ability to see in perspective, so you got the ability to reason and see, you got the ability to do or not to do, right? And then you did it, so you are answerable. But say for example you didn't have the ability to reason, or you didn't have the ability to do or to abandon. So you're not answerable. Someone sees himself committing zina with a certain person in his dream, and it raised you the dream. Will you hit him? Will you punish him? Can't punish him, because that was in his dream. In the dream, you are not in your control. Things happen, flying, running, doing things, but you're not in control. But what you are answerable for is that which you are in control. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Every person has been made responsible according to his capacity and strength. So easy. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلِهِ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. So it continues. Then مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all humility. وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Restrain and establish regular namaz. So this is what Allah Pak wants of you. So what we are talking about at the beginning is Allah has given you that ability to choose or to abandon, to do or not to do. But if you do it, then you are going to be worthy of reward, eligible to reward, or eligible for punishment. One of the two will happen. Why? Because He's given you the ability to do and to leave. He's given you the ability to reason correctly or incorrectly. You got the ability. So when you got the ability to reason correctly and then you prefer doing wrong, now you answer. So what's true, what's right, your heart will be attracted to. What's not right, your heart will be distracted. But then sometimes the emotions get the better of the person and you get distracted to the wrong. When you get distracted to the wrong, then the wrong seems to be right. So the wrong seeming to be right, it doesn't make it right. It's wrong, it's going to be wrong, and you must believe it to be wrong. Right? You see it wrong, believe it to be wrong, and apply yourself also that this is wrong, I need to leave it. So the hadith says, "Man sana'a bikum ma'rufan," someone does something good. So what's the natural response? Then return it. Rasulullah's habit was to return something better than what he received. That was his Mubarak habit. Someone will give one small camel, he'll give one big, huge camel, he'll give. So that was his habit. Someone gave one, he'll give 10. So that was his Mubarak habit. فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُهُ بِهِ. You don't have the means to give him a better reward, give him a better thing, then at least speak good about him. So these are the two things that you are required. You either reward something, give something better, or number two, and speak good about the person. So therefore you'll find that the imams, how did they apply themselves in this hadith? See, the imams of fiqh, they were masters not only of fiqh, but hadith as well. Because each of them, if you go and see their personal account, then they want, someone knows about 500,000, 1 million hadith, they know it. But then, they had seen what was the need of the time, and they applied themselves according to the need. The need now to preserve the hadith. There's a need to then extract the masail. Then there's a need to then systemize the entire fiqh. Right? Randomly you can find in the hadith, you can randomly find. But to systemize the whole thing, if someone comes after 5 centuries or 10 centuries and he wants to look at a masala on taharat, on wuzu, just looking at the index in a minute's time, he can get right into the index and find exactly the solution that he's looking for. You know? So this was the work of the fuqaha kiram. They extracted it, they systemized the whole thing, and they gave it a shape. So now, they did something for the generations to come. See, so these imams, they understood it. So they didn't only understand hadith, they preserved it. Each one over 100,000, 200,000, 1 million, you know the hadith. It was a hadith, right? And it was being discussed. So it came to Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh. It was something about dates, right? So, if it is commodity for commodity, same for same, right? If it is the same, and it is something that is sold by weight, right? Then it must be identical. Sawa'an bi sawa'in and yadam bi yadin. Two conditions. If it is the same, commodity that's being exchanged, and number two, it is sold by weight, right? Then see that it is done on the spot and equal for equal. Then you won't say that my dates are of a superior quality and yours are inferior, so I'll give you a half and you'll give me double. You won't say that. It must be sawa'an bi sawa'in, yadam bi yadin. It must be identical both ways. So now, it was against, the masla was about tamar against rutub, right? Rutub is the date that is fresh, just plucked from the tree, it's fresh. And tamar is that which is dried. So, there is a hadith that is condemning this practice, that if you're selling rutub against tamar, then this type of a transaction is not right. So, it came to Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said that this hadith number one, the basis of this hadith is Zayd ibn Ayyash. They call him Abu Ayyash also, Zayd ibn Ayyash. And Zayd ibn Ayyash is munkar, is majhul, is condemned. So you can't use that hadith to justify something. So when Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi, he's such a great muhaddis that every muhaddis holds him in very high rank. Nobody has criticized him. So you can imagine now how great he must be rating in the science of hadith. He says, how fair is it towards Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi when they're condemning him, and he knows the sensitive things about the hadith, the very finer things of hadith. He can tell you exactly that this hadith you cannot use to substantiate, because there is one of the chain of the narrator of the reporters that is not right. And he can exactly find the chain of the narrator and he can show what's the weakness in him. So how can you condemn the man? Then Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi went to explain the hadith. Gave two explanations. One is Rasulullah had stopped this Tamar against Rutub Nasiyatan. Not on the spot, you are selling it on account that I give you the Rutub now and you give me the Tamar later on. So that's what he prohibited. Otherwise, it's a cash transaction, then there is no problem. So that's the first explanation he gave. The second explanation he gave was, if it is same for same, then the hadith is saying that it is permissible provided it's on the spot. Equal for equal on the spot. So if you say Rutab and Tamar is the same thing, then why is it not permissible? If the quantities are the same on both sides, why not permissible? And if it is that it's a different commodity altogether, Rutab is different, and tamar is different, then فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَ فَبِيُوكِ فَشِئْتُمْ. Then if the commodities are different, then sell as you want. So why do you say that's not permissible? If it is the same commodity, then equal for equal, and the sale will be valid. And if it's different, فَبِيُوكِ فَشِئْتُمْ, then hadith is authorizing you to sell it as you want. What's the reason for prohibition? You see Abu Hanifa's reasoning, how sound it is. It's difficult to break that argument. Therefore, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, when he saw Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, this is such a man. If he says that this pillar is gold, the way he'll substantiate it, you can't break it. He will bring reasoning, proofs, from hadith, and everywhere will bring reasons. You can't break the person. So these imams, at no time should we feel that they were not important and significant in the annals of history. Allama Sha'rani rahmatullahi says, I saw in a vision. Allama Sha'rani is about the 4th, 1st century, right? Very great, very, very great. Well, we got time for everything else. WhatsApp, what's down? Bill Gates, we got time for him. What's happening? America, we got time. What's happening with the vaccine? We've got time for that. Who's behind it? Who's the conspiracy? And all that. But apni ghar ki baat ko jante hain kya? Do we know our own home? What we're supposed to know about our own home? Do we value that? Do we appreciate that? Right? Anything else we know? But our own home, what we're supposed to be knowing? What we're supposed to be holding to heart? What we're supposed to be evaluating? Do we know about it? That's one thing. And the second thing that is even more important, or that there's a crisis, right? Understand, say it's a crisis. Say now, say for example that vaccine is poison, just for example, right? Poison now, right? But now, you try to show that it's poison. But did you try to show what is the solution now? Or the thing is carrying on now? What's the solution? What do we do? As a Muslim, what are you supposed to be doing, right? Somebody is pushing a virus now. What are you supposed to be doing? So, think of solutions more than the problem. But keep talking about he is behind it and he is behind it and he is behind it and he is behind it. But did we ever think about the solution? What should we be doing? Now, if you look in Islamic history, you'll find a parallel to this to the time of Musa alayhi salam. If you see now, this is slaughtering and killing and destroying people in a very, very sophisticated way. But this happened and existed in the time of Musa alayhi salam. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَكُمْ. That he was also putting away the children of the Bani Israel putting them away. And for what? Same, kursi ki fikr thi. He was afraid now that will I have that authority, will I have that power, that might? Because might is right. Whatever you say, might is right. That's the philosophy. Jiski lati uski bhes. That's the philosophy. What? Jiski lati uski bhes. That's the philosophy that they follow. So now, and that's the philosophy that they follow, right? So now, the whole idea is to preserve the position, right? Firaun's whole idea was to preserve the position. He's not worried about what happens after that. But as long as my authority is not dented, so in the preservation plan, even if I have to kill, murder innocent children, just come out from the mother's wombs, from the mother's laps, just take them, slaughter them, cast, end of the story. So my kursi, my position is secured. But in the face of all this, did we ask what guidance Musa alayhi salam offered the Bani Israel? In all this, what guidance? So I was paging through the Quran Sharif, I seen about 3-4 things. So one place Allah Pak says, قَالَ مُوسَىٰ يَا قَوْمِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْبِرُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْبِرُوا. Ask Allah for assistance. Now your hands are tied, you can't do anything. Can you fight? Can't fight. Right? This morning I was explaining the tafsir. You see, when you're living in a place, then you don't become over brazen and fight with the authority. Don't do that. Because this thing happened in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam could have fought Pharaoh, but he knew he didn't have that type of power. And nor did Allah Ta'ala ask him to do it, that you fight this thing. And this must be a precedent for the generations to come. You don't have the power, you don't have the might, now you want to fight. What's going to happen? You understand what's going to be the outcome. So, when you don't have the power, you don't have the might to fight the authority, what are you supposed to be doing? So, people will go in diverse paths. One part is that you'll stand up and fight. And then very quickly they'll be suppressed. Because the one that is in position, what he is bothered about is his position. He'll suppress you. However he wants to suppress you, he'll suppress you. So you don't fight them. Don't be brazen. So, simple word is, don't implicate. Don't get implicated. Don't cause problems for yourself. And don't cause problems for others. If you must fight and become brazen and do things, right, randomly, you may create problems for yourself and you may create problems for others. They say all Muslims are the same. So that's what they'll do. And then they'll start suppressing. So you don't do something that you will create problems for yourself and you may create problems for others, right? So don't get implicated, number one. Number two is, don't become too friendly with the law. With the state, you don't become too friendly. Not that you take them as an enemy, but you don't become too friendly. Why don't you become too friendly? Because then you have exposed yourself to criticism. Say, well, he's bought out. He's on the payroll. He's a spy. Right? So people begin to taunt you, they antagonize you, they want to hurt you. Right? Why? Because they feel you're the payroll, you're a spy, you are working against the people for the state. Right? So that's how they reason, that's how they look at you. So you go against them, it's a problem. You go too thick with them, that's a problem. But the best thing, look after your deen, look after yourself. You look after your deen, you look after yourself. You'll go on this direction, this side, it's going to be a problem. You're going to go on this side, there's going to be a problem. Someone said it in a poetry, جبکہ دو موزیوں میں ہو کھٹ پت اپنی حفاظت کا سامان کرو جھٹ پت. What? When there's a problem on both sides, what are you supposed to be doing? جبکہ دو موزیوں میں ہو کھٹ پت اپنے حفاظت کا سامان کرو جھٹ پت. When there's a problem, you can see now this side is a problem, that side is a problem. What must you do? You look after yourself. Look after yourself. The most important thing in the life of a Muslim is your deen. Look after yourself, look after your deen. You may think, right, Al-Mawr Thaniyari has illustrated this, given this explanation, there's a fight between a lion and a pack of wolves, right? It's a fact, carrying on. So you can reason in three different ways. One is this, that I'll go on the side of the lion against the wolves, right? So if you want to go on the side of the lion against the wolves, if, for example, the lion suppresses the wolf, then the lion will recognize, alright, you were on its side, so therefore it will take care of you, right? Therefore it will recognize the good that you have done, because of your cooperation, therefore I have won the battle against the wolf. The second scenario is the wolf overcomes the lion, right? If the wolf overcomes the lion, it will come for you as well. Because you on that side, you are an ally. And you are aligned, you are an ally. So it finished the lion, it will finish you as well. Right? So this doesn't work out, and that doesn't work out. So in this scenario, what are you supposed to be doing? What is he saying? Apni hifad ka saman karo jhatpat. Look after yourself. So the most important thing in our life is ourselves and our deen. You got that by carry on. So Musa alayhi salam gave that advice to the Bani Israel. Ista'inu billahi wasbir. You ask and beg Allah Ta'ala's assistance. See, now you caught from all sides. Bani Israel, they're unequipped. They don't have the equipment. They don't have the numbers. They can't do anything. So what did Allah Ta'ala instruct Musa alayhi salam? Ista'inu billah. Ask and beg Allah Ta'ala's help. Ista'inu billah. So ista'inu, how do you access the help? How do you access the assistance of Allah Ta'ala? Ista'inu bisabri wa salah. So you will gain the assistance of Allah Ta'ala through namaz. So you go into sajda, you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg his help. How many of us do this thing here? And when there is a crisis, how many of us think, alright, what does the Quran Sharif say? You know what Bill Gates is saying, you know what that monkey is saying, and that donkey is saying, and that baboon is saying. You know what all the conspiracies are. But did we take the time out to go and find out that what the Quran Sharif is showing us? What's the solution? Don't we need to make istighfar for this? Don't we need to deeply repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we follow everybody else's theory or whatever they're doing? But what does Allah want from us? Under the situation, the crisis, the problem, what do we do? So the first point in the plan is, but you see the similarity, the parallel. Here, Bani Israel, and here the Muslim. Here, you are tied, here you are tied. Anywhere in the world you go, you are tied, right? Tied this side, you tied that side. So you don't have the ability to express yourself like how you want to. You don't have the... Can you express yourself like how you want to? Can you? Are you free to do it? You don't have that freedom. So when you don't have the freedom to do what you need to do, and you need to have a plan that works for now and for 50 years later, it must work. So what was the plan? Ista'inu billah. Don't you think at any time that na'uzu billah, Allah lost the control, the virus has taken the control. When you're going to go like this, you know, hey, now is a depression now. Of kya karenge? You're going to get distressed or depressed. Why? You went just to look for the problem. We didn't take the pain to look for the solution. Didn't we? Ask yourself, be fair, I can say, fitratallah. Allah created you with a clear disposition, a clear mind. But then you went and warped the disposition with all these type of thoughts. You went and dented the thing, you went and mixed it up. So now, the first stop is, by what solution Allah is showing, what Allah wants. I can see there's a problem. Is there a similarity? And did I look for the similarity? Did I look for you? Ask yourself in all earnest, in all sincerity, how much of pain did I take in finding this, looking for that, and tracing this thing out here? And how much of pains did I put in to look for the right solution? What my Allah Pak wants? Allah Pak hasn't lost control. The Quran Sharif is a complete kitab. When it's a perfect, complete kitab, then what solution does the Quran Sharif show? So, the ista'inu billah. First point in the plan, ask Allah for help. And how you ask Allah Ta'ala's help? Ista'inu billahi, ista'inu bisabri wa salah. You access the help of Allah Ta'ala through namaz. On the occasion of Badr, the whole night Nabi Sallam is reading namaz. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghis. Where are these words written? See, now you're only 313, right? And you've got an opposition, informidable, right? Armed to the teeth. Yeah, you're only carrying 6 swords, 8 swords you're carrying. Can you imagine now? It's mind-boggling. 8 swords against 1,000 equipped right to the teeth. It's so well equipped. But Rasulullah didn't give up. What he did, he begged Allah Ta'ala. He accessed the help of Allah Ta'ala. Istra'inu billahi, istra'inu bis sabri was salah. That's the first thing. So you will look for ways to attract the help of Allah Ta'ala. Right. Now, in the plan of helping, attracting the help of Allah Ta'ala, remember again, you attracting the help of Allah Ta'ala. So Mullah Rum says, don't be deceived with that person who tries to bluff Allah Ta'ala with one rakat, and that person that tries to bluff Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with one durood. Now, is there a problem now? Is reading one rakat? Few rakats is reading, when is a problem. When is a problem, he's reading a little bit of durood Sharif. And then when he's فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَاهُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, when Allah Ta'ala has delivered him, brought him to the shore of safety, then all those promises are forgotten. See that? So that's what he's saying, that don't get deceived and carried away by people that remember Allah Ta'ala just at the time of crisis. The problem now, you all promises and whatever, you're crying and doing everything else. But فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ, the moment Allah Ta'ala brings you to the shore of safety, everything is forgotten. So that's not, it's not allegiance. It's not loyalty. That's not faith. See how much the Quran is teaching us. But do we take the time? Shah Waliullah Sabrahim says that every Muslim will at least take out the time and read up. If you can't read up, it's not an alim under supervision. But one page, 2 pages of the Quran, read that. Read what's the message? What Allah is giving us? Do we take out the time? Some of us are ulama, but do we take the time out, alright? Or just we look at the translation enough? Right? Look at the translation and then try and work out what is Allah Pak conveying to me. Look at the translation, alright? No problem. Reliable. Some of our mashayikh, Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, Azad Mawad Shabir Ahmad Usman Sahib, Azad Mawad Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Mawad Didri Sahib. Look at it. Right? Then try and work out what is the mansha, what Allah Pak wants from me. Try and work out. Think about it the whole day, 1 page, 1.5 page, 2 page, but look at it. Now that we don't have any time. For every other thing we got time. We got time for this, for that nonsense, that stupid things, we got time. But the message of Allah Ta'ala that He is conveying to me, that is a challenge for the entire world, that's a miracle that is lasting to the end of time, that we got no time to think about it and reflect over the contents. I say, is it a service to Islam? Is it showing appreciation to Deen? Or is it disappreciation? So that's one thing, istaeenu billahi. Second, wasbiru. Right. Sabr al-jawal mean, don't lose your composure. Maintain your composure. Don't lose, don't act radical, irrational. Don't do things like that. Don't do something, fight, and talk and shout, slogan, protest, all that. Right. Don't do things irrationally. Don't become radical. Istaeenu billahi wasbiru. Maintain your composure. Number one. Maintain your calmness. And also, simultaneously, have the yaqeen that Allah Pak will reward you for this. That for the sabr that you're going through, you're going to be rewarded, and you're going to be rewarded amply, abundantly. I ask you, one gave one shot, hot you gave one shot, hard shot he gave you. And then, in 2 minutes time he gave you, sorry man, when he smiled, sorry, take this $1 trillion. What will you tell you? Tell me the truth, what will you tell you? Give 10 shots. So we recognize, we identify with money. But do we identify with sawab? One sawab is what trillion? All the wealth of the world, it can't be equivalent to one sawab. But we don't identify with this. What we identify with wealth, abundance, property, etc., we identify. But that akhirat, wala darul akhirat khayr. Now you're getting this. You see, people, they get so consumed with the world and the filth of this world. Say, you know, we'll be so long in Jannah, won't we get bored? Na'uzubillah. You're getting these emails coming all the way through. So I have to reply to them. Even you have to live for a trillion, gazillion, trillion years, trillion, gazillion, trillion years, right? The next day in Jannah will be still like the first day. The excitement is like still the first day. No change, not لا يبغون عنها حولا. That change, there won't be any alteration in the pleasure, the excitement, the beauty, the experience. You can't find a change. It's like the first day. Imagine the first day you got married. What an excitement, huh? But that excitement of Jannah doesn't wear off. It just carries on and on and on. But now because we are so little, small peanut minds, you know, we think like peanuts. We think peanuts, not like peanuts, we think peanuts. Because of our peanut mind, we're not looking at the unbounded grace of Allah Ta'ala, flawless grace of Allah Ta'ala. We think, hey, what will happen now? We live so long in Jannah, what happened? Do we think about the unbounding grace of Allah Ta'ala? Then the third place Allah Pak is saying, عَلَى اللَّهِ فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. So Musa al-Islam alayhi tawakkalu is commanding them, trust in Allah Ta'ala. In other words, things will happen, but trust, bear with us. Things will happen in time. Now you want things to happen like microwave straight away, I must press the button straight away. Na'uzubillah, Allah Pak, your slave. I must say it must happen. Allah Pak will do it, it will happen. In time it will happen. And happening in time is for your own good. No, you won't. I must press the button, it must happen immediately. Allah Pak doesn't want that. Happening with a delay is to your own betterment, it's for your own good. But you can't understand it. Your child, right? You love him to bits. Right? He's 3 years of age. He asks you for a loaded gun. Right? Will you give it to him? You love him, you know, inseparable love. The love is so much. But you're not going to give it to him. You will give it to him in time. Now he's 3, when he's 23, matured, understanding, he understands he mustn't become impulsive, he must be calm, he must be responsible, etc. You will show him how to train, etc. Eventually you'll buy him, right? Won't you do it? Now the child can't understand, say, my father is so miserly, he doesn't have it, he won't give it to me. Then when he's 23, he pages through his diary. Ah, this day I asked my father for a gun. Father is so miserly, he didn't give it to me. But he looks at everything that's happening around that time. You know what, one thing happens in the world, then simultaneously there are some several things happening. Right? If it's a certain time, then this is the climatic condition outside, this is the weather condition, the bird flying across the side, there's a car that is going on this side. So a lot of things are happening simultaneously. But I'm looking at what happened simultaneously around that time. And I asked my father for that gun when I was 3 years of age. So I'm paging through the diary, I'm looking at my accounts and all that. I saw that on that day, that very day, my father cashed or deposited 50 million in my account. Now, do you have any reason to be thinking about your father that he is miserly, he's bad, he's not good? No reason. And lucky my father didn't give it to me at that time, because, you know, a lot of things were going through my mind. I could have misused it on myself or others. My father was very wise to postpone the thing. So, Allah Pak's command is, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. You believe in me, you trust me, then put your confidence in me. If you believe in me, then trust me. إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. You believe in Allah, then why don't you trust me? It's a plan of Allah Ta'ala. Allah knows what's happening. He knows what's at the beginning. He knows what's at the end. He says, إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. See how the Quran Sharif and the plan the Quran Sharif is teaching you. Do you think about it like that? إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. If you are believing in Allah Ta'ala, then trust Him. You trust Him, others, you are certain that Allah Ta'ala will create an exit. مَيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُ. You trust in Allah Ta'ala, also be confident that Allah Ta'ala is sufficient. He'll create a plan. He'll work out a plan for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. So the Bani Israel said, قَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We trust in Allah Ta'ala. But they increased their dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. That was the dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah Pak, don't make us don't make us such that these people use us as an experiment. They want to experiment, whatever they want to experiment. But they're using us as guinea pigs to experiment on us. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. See how accurate, how specific, how... You can't find anything as accurate as the Quran, really, Allah. You can't find anything as accurate. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا. Don't let them make us guinea pigs into their game. It's their game, whatever they... What in conspiracy? We don't go into all that. But yes, we need to know what we must do. You know, someone is saying, you know, this rogues are going to come to Spingo Beach, Nabak Protect, right? And they come with this type of weapons. And you know, they won't leave anything in the house. They may hit someone. And he's only frightening you with all the problems. But he's not showing you what must you do. But in the face of a calamity or an impending calamity, what must you do? Did he teach you about that? What he's supposed to be teaching, right? These are the steps that you must take. Burglar guard the house, have a patrol, have some security measures done. They're not teaching. They're telling you, you know, this would happen. They'll come and raid your house, they'll burn your house, they'll do this, they'll do this. But you're filling us up with misery, pain, and fear. Show us what to do. So the Quran says we're showing what to do. إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكُلْ. Trust in Allah. Nothing. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything is in Allah's control. So trust in Him. And you're going to trust in Him and He's sufficient. So do you trust in Him? Do you put your confidence in Him? Do you think like that? So no, we are sort them out. I know gunpowder, I do this. I'll sort them out. So Allah doesn't like that. Is your trust on your acumen and intelligence, your husyari, or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, trust me, I will do it. I will make it happen. And whenever in Islamic history, Muslims shifted their trust from Allah ta'ala to themselves, they went through some problems. Oh, I got a plan, I can do this, I can do that, alright, carry on. You shifted your trust from Allah ta'ala to yourself, no? Now who's on your side? يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah is on your side, nobody can overtake you. وَنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْلِ. But if Allah has to forsake you, then who can help you in the after? So, this Bani Israel made this word, رَبَّنْ لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah, don't make us a guinea pig in the game. But these zalims, don't make us a guinea pig. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And protect us against this kafir, against this zulm, etc. Protect us. See that? How accurate. Can you find something more precise? But do we take out the time to look for the solutions that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned and announced to us? Do we take out the time to do it? So we're talking about this hadith. مَنْ صَنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا كَافِئُوهُ بِهِ مَا تُكَافِئُوهُ بِهِ فَأَسْنُوْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا. Let's speak good about the person. Right. Now, look at the Imams now. Abu Hanifa, his student Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi. Then, what was their take on the hadith? So they understood the hadith, they preserved the hadith, and they were the best to apply the hadith. Really. I got no doubts about it. They understood the hadith, they preserved the hadith, and they were the best to apply the hadith. So it's our luck to listen to them. How did they apply? So they say, or nearly all of them are saying, that then from that onwards, that day onwards, there wasn't a day that we didn't make dua for ustaz by name. I cried to make dua. Someone did it after every namaz, but someone did it once in a day, but he made sure. He made dua, Allah, forgive them and cover them with your mercy. Now when you say forgive and cover, it's a complete package, what? Short complete package. One is you make a detailed dua, should make it now and then. Make a detailed dua also. But a complete package, absolute complete. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ. Complete, absolutely complete package. Nothing left out. Because the maful is not mentioned there. Is it mentioned? No. So Allah, everything that is supposed to be forgiven, forgive it. Jo kuch ho gaya, kotai, aaj ki, kal ki, parsu ki, رات کی، دن کی، صبح کی، wherever, whatever problem, just forgive. Please Allah, please just forgive. One is to make a detailed dua, you make it also. But then sometimes you want to do it when you can't stress the dua for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but you can do it in 3 minutes with the presence of mind. Allah Pak wants the presence of mind. Muqinuna bil ijaba. Mulhira fi dua. You are begging Allah Ta'ala. So that begging kayfiyat sometimes comes for a short period. But can't you do that? For your parents, for your ustads. But now they say we didn't even compromise on that. They are saying to this extent, Yusuf is saying this much, that before I can make dua for my parents, I'm making dua for them. And the reason for that was, if my parents did good for me, right, they did some good for me, right, then I appreciate that. But more of their favor was worldly and material, right, more of it. Not that they didn't teach us deen, but more of the favor was material. But these people took us by the hand and pulled us to Jannah. This is what they did. They dragged us to Jannah. That's how the way they systemized the whole system of Islam, as though they dragged us by the hand going to Jannah. That's how they did. So don't they deserve to be respected, appreciated, shown love? Huh? So how did they do it? Say once in the day. Some say once, and some say after every namaz. You're pleading Allah, forgive them. And warham. So every possible way of showing mercy and kindness and compassion. Yeah, every perceivable manner, right? Anything else to be asked for. Because here the maful is not mentioned. Rabbi khfir warham. Is the maful mentioned? No. So you have to be left in mutlaq. When you said mutlaq, al-mutlaqu yajri ala itlaqi. Then general is general. You covered everything. Nothing you left out. Everything, every reason for everything to forgive, forgive. I don't say don't make the lengthy dua. Now someone will leave this thing and leave his mullah and say, Rabbi khfir, finish class. You're looking for shortcut. Since the day we discovered that Inna Atayna and Qul Huwallah in the Quran Sharif, so we read about Inna Atayna Qul Huwallah. I think it was a surah shorter than that. We read that about it. Now and then, alright, you're not in a situation to do it in detail, then do it like this as well. Otherwise, for your own comfort, you can say, or the doctor can say, you just have one banana and one apple is enough for the day. But will you ask yourself, will you be comfortable with it? Doctor, yeah, no, your lesson on health is very good. Inshallah, we'll see it to you someday. Don't be applying yourself. You want the variety. So that variety of dua must be done. But now and then, once in a day now, but you want to talk to Allah with all your heart as a token of appreciation for all the good that was done to me. By those that was done. And that is a security for your blessings lasting. It's a security measure for the lasting and the continuity of the blessings. That's a security. When you are making shukr, for us no ali khairan, is shukr is a form of gratitude. And gratitude is the, in English you'll say, is your cover, you know, the cover. You know, see, what an insurance cover. So the shukr is the cover. It's a cover. You understand now, it's a cover, to cover you completely. What is the thing that will cover you completely? Shukr. So it's left to you how much you want to contribute towards this cover. Cover more, cover less. It's left to you. You want to contribute more, you contribute more. And you want to contribute less, you contribute less. But it's left to you. So you see, this Imam Ghazali did. Today some ulama came from Boxburg. But they were asking for some advice. Suppose I ask them, you have got any taluk with any Buzurgan Adin, who joins us, Yama Abdul Hamid Sabr of Dhammad Barakatum, so maintain that. Very, very important. Whoever it is, old, maintain it. Then I explain, see, that relationship with that elderly Buzurg, right, from whom you got, is like the branch connected to the trunk. Right. So when the branch is connected to the trunk, the branch will look fresh, the leaves will look beautiful, and it will be producing nice, beautiful fruit all the time. But that is proportionate to how much you keep yourself connected to the trunk. If the branch keeps itself connected to the trunk properly, correctly, it's looking so rosy and nice, smart, right? It's leaving so beautifully, and it's fruiting so nice, all the time. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. All the time it is fruiting, all the time. Now, see that. أَثْنُوْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرٍ. Speak good about them. See the importance of Qiyamah, then you will find that the latter people of the latter age, they'll be reviling the people of the former. In different ways. They won't see now, they can't think, they can't reason, all that. Now we are the men of the time. So sometimes we are doing it discreetly, sometimes mentally, and sometimes we are doing it in different ways. But that is coming very clearly, that the people of the latter generations, they'll forget these people here. And the whole plan here is that by keep yourself connected. You keep yourself connected, I showed you the branch and the trunk. Now, again, think again, right? Just think for a moment that the branch has been disconnected. What will happen in a few days that it will dry up, right? The leaves will fall off, right? Will it ever bear fruit afterwards? Will it ever? Can you ever imagine anything to bear fruit? So that's the problem with disconnecting. Connecting, it's a continuous flow. Flow is continuous. Proportionate to the depth, proportionate to how you kept yourself connected is the flow. And you disconnected yourself, then the flow also breaks. Then you think to yourself, how must I keep myself connected? You want the flow, then Allah can do, with his qudrat he can do, that branch that is separated from the trunk, he can still feed the thing. Can anybody stop Allah Ta'ala? But is that the way of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Not the way of Allah Ta'ala. So no, must believe in Allah Ta'ala, Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala is doing right, to believe in that. But now, break that branch and see that thing fruiting. Is that the way of Allah Ta'ala? So understand it's the way of Allah Ta'ala, and when it is the way of Allah Ta'ala, keep that, maintain that. As the Shaykh Muhammad Lalay, I think the Jamaat people know from which country, they ask for some advice. He says, you keep your ta'alluq with your seniors, Markaz, whoever the seniors were at that time, keep your ta'alluq with them. Don't break away. Your effort will grow and progress proportionate to the respect and the love, the muhabbat, the affinity you will have to the Markaz, to the headquarter. Whoever the headquarter at that time, you, proportionate to that is your burqa. But now you disconnected yourself, doing your own thing. They're saying something, you're doing something else. They're teaching something else, you're doing something else. Now you have broken up. When you've broken up, you can't find any fayda in that. No fayda, you won't find the fayda. You may think to yourself that there is fayda, but there is no fayda. So, we're talking a little bit of shukr, gratitude. Luqman alayhi salam, when he's advising his son, so Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. He blessed him with wisdom. So, the tafsir has got two explanations. This is sharing one tafsir. So, what is the essence of shukr? What is the essence of shukr? No, I'm sorry. What is the essence of hikmat? وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ. You blessed him with hikmat. But what is the essence of hikmat? The essence of hikmat is, first, what is hikmat? Hikmat is to apply things correctly. That is hikmat. You will get the maximum from anything if you apply it correctly. Then will you get it properly. If the light is situated best, it will throw the best light. If it's incorrectly situated, then will you get the best light? The water is coming right? So you'll get the best flow if it's placed right. Similarly now, what is hikmat? If that ilm is applied correctly, that right ilm is applied correctly, then you'll get the best out of it. But you got the ilm, you're not applying it like how you're supposed to be applying it, will you get the best out of it? A marital home goes best when you apply it in the right way. But you're not applying it in the right way, how your mind thinks you're applying it, and you want the best results, will it give it to you? For Allah has created all the systems. You got a small little machine there, you know, what they use in the home. Machine. Kenwood, all right. Now you want to use it like how you want. You want to put on a whole stone there to make it into sand. Kya hoga? It'll work. So no, you're not doing the work. But you don't use your brains. They give you a whole manual, you follow the manual. It'll work. But now you want to apply your brains into this thing here. Is it going to work? So Allah has created system, so system must be respected. So hikmat means to apply the thing rightly. And then what is the essence of hikmat? The essence of hikmat is anishkurillah. Appreciate. What? Appreciate. Your son appreciates. Abba, such a good person. You bought this chocolate for me only. Abba, kiss your hand. Kiss your forehead. How you feel? How you feel? Small chocolate, but your child is so appreciative. Got a big smile on his face. But what must I do for you? I squeeze a glass of juice for you. What must I do? I rub your feet. What must I do for you? So he's trying to express himself, his gratitude, but according to his understanding, he's trying to express himself. So the whole summary or the essence of hikmat is shukr. Then shukr will be at two levels, primarily to Allah Ta'ala, because primarily everything comes from Allah Ta'ala. Primarily, everything comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the primary shukr is to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Anishkurillah. But then Allah Ta'ala Himself wants that we also respect and appreciate those mediums. Anishkurli wali walidek. Man lam yashkuri nas lam yashkurillah. So He says, let's see, primarily you thank me, because everything is coming from me. I am the giver, I am the provider. When I am the giver, I am the provider, primarily you thank me. How many of us thanked Allah Ta'ala till this day for iman? Read two rakat of namaz. Thank Allah Ta'ala for iman. Did we do that? The greatest of gift, but did you take all the time, make two rakat namaz Allah Ta'ala? No, you can't attach a price to this. Nothing. The seven worlds, seven skies and the earth can't pay the price for iman. Did you ever show Allah Ta'ala thanks? Now you want to secure iman, especially after 40, 35, 40, because it's downhill now. After 30, 35, 40, right? Then you're supposed to be showing shukr that what you have got, Allah preserve it. For me, for my children, and for the progeny to come afterwards, Allah preserve it. Because you earn now, and you want that to flow on. And as you're aging, the more you're aging, and the more good you're seeing around you, your children, the progenies, etc. So the preservation plan is shukr. Now think of the ways that you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But thank Allah ta'ala from your heart, or wholeheartedly. Think of the ways how you can show Allah ta'ala the maximum gratitude. I show people, right? See all your organs, as you stand, all the organs are working, right? Liver is working, heart is working, blood is working, pishab is coming out. Now Allah ta'ala jams the pishab. What happens? The thing is jammed now, prostrate you got now. Hey, trying this one here. Lungs are jammed now. Can't take out, you can't breathe. What happens? Mullah was telling me that for the 3 hours you pay about 4,000 rand just for the one cylinder. And now that for the day now, for example, you pay about 28,000 rand. All that you're receiving and enjoying free of charge. Dialysis, what happens to the person? All the thing is you're receiving free of charge. Did we show that sugar Allah, cry for Allah, what you did for me? You assigned me to people, what would they have done to me? You took it on yourself to see that all the systems are working. And free of charge, I'm not even showing this namak haram. I'm not showing even thanks to you, Allah. Then, more than everything else, right? You got to know yourself at the age of, say, 13, 14, right? You got to know yourself, right? Came to your adolescence, right? You recognized. From that time till now, the wrongs that you may have done, secretly, openly, Allah covered everything. He blocked everything off. Just to maintain your izzat. Nothing else. Did you owe Allah anything? Did you pay him anything for that? But he maintained your izzat. He loves you. He loves you, so he blocked all your faults, all your weaknesses. I say, if Allah had exposed our weaknesses, would we want to be alone here in this world here for 1 second? Every fault you did, small, big, openly, secretly, you did, right? Whatever you did. But I said, my banda hai, mera banda hai, main iski izzat ko rakhta hoon. It's my banda and I will block him. So you need to cry, really I'm saying, figuratively, literally I'm saying, you need to cry tears of blood in shukr. So you see, the shukr is the essence of hikmat. Anishkur li wali walidi. So once you ponder over the the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come to your senses. Allah says, no, he's making 5,000 rand every day. Me, I'm only making 1 grand. He's driving Merc. Me, I'm still driving last 30 years, still Corolla. I'm still tossing around. He's got so many shops, he's got, hey, one shop after the other. And my, hey, one small 4x4 shop I got. You keep grumbling, you will never show the shukr. But the moment you open the door to shukr, you have no face, really. I'm feeling ashamed. So much I'm enjoying. And I'm not showing the appreciation. Allah is still pouring upon me. He's still pouring. That is now the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. But I will guarantee you one thing. If you do the shukr in the way you're supposed to be doing it, then you will feel an internal frame, internal sense of satisfaction and happiness like never before. But do it like how you're supposed to do it. Do it wholeheartedly. You'll find such a satisfaction, happiness all around you'll find. But that shukr has to come wholeheartedly, deep, recess of the heart, and see what happens to you. Allah Ta'ala.